irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, Jim Potts back on the air, and as always, thank you so much for listening to me on your Sunday evening or afternoon, whatever it may be. Hey, got a number of good things to talk about today, but I want to tell you we got a lot of positive feedback on the show last week with Detective Velik, who talked about the drugs and children and everything. That was very important for a lot of people out there. So anyway, appreciated having him on the show, and maybe we'll have him back as a guest sometime as well. All right, listen, today we're going to talk about a very big issue, and I've kind of talked about this before, and it has to do with the use of the Internet for terrorist purposes. Before I get started, though, as always, I want to let you know that if you have any questions, if you want to call in with any questions or email me, you can call me at 818-602-4929, or go to our website. You can get the number there as well. Or you can email me, as so many people do it, listen up with jp@pottsandassociates.com. And if you want to get my blogs or email blasts about upcoming show topics, just simply text POTS Associates and text that to 22828 and enter your email address. It's very easy. Again, that's text to POTS Associates and text that to 22828 and enter your email address, and we'll send you out what the upcoming topics will be. Okay, you know, as usual, my format is I always like to talk about the emails that I received. And, you know, again, I can't get to all of them, talk to all of them on the show. So I like to do about three of them, and I keep them kind of with the current events as well, or concerns that people may have. So let's take a look at this first one here. Jim, I recall months ago that you said since ISIS was run out of Syria, they would have to resort to the same ideological methods used by Al-Qaeda, meaning that they would have to reach out to individuals to kill. You are right. The attack at the wedding in Kabul is an example. ISIS claimed responsibility for the suicide bomber's actions. Keep getting the word out there, Jim. Maybe if enough people listen, something will get done to end all of this. Judy from Berkeley, California. Yeah, is what she's talking about. For those of you who don't know, Kabul is in Afghanistan. And basically is what happened was a suicide bomber went to this wedding, and he was actually standing in the middle of the dancing, you know, of the crowd that was dancing, you know, people were clapping. It's a wedding, so you can imagine what the atmosphere was like. And apparently there were hundreds of people there, including children and adults that were celebrating the wedding. And here he stands there, and he's a suicide bomber. And he blew himself up. And as a result of that, it's considered one of the deadliest attacks in Kabul this year. Killed 63 people and wounded 182. That's a lot of explosive power right there. 63 killed with one bomb explosion, and 182 were wounded. These are the kind of things that's devastating. And you're right. You know, I did talk to you, Judy, or talk to the audience regarding ISIS, because ISIS, they're going to have to resort to other tactics, and they're going to take a page out of Al-Qaeda's book, I'm sure of it, and this is just another example of it. But I'll tell you this, the Taliban, believe it or not, is trying to work with the United States somehow. I can't get into all of that, with hopes that they will curb the ISIS affiliates' rise out there. And the Taliban even spoke out against the attack as forbidden and unjustifiable. So now it might be that they're creating themselves a new enemy by them doing that, engaging in that kind of behavior, at least in Afghanistan anyway. So I don't know. We'll see. May shut the door on ISIS being able to formulate there. The last time I heard, ISIS actually has some boots on the ground in Afghanistan. And as I recall, I think the number's around 14,000. So once they got run out of Syria, they had to go somewhere. So now, because there's a conflict still going on in Afghanistan, it looks like they're spreading out that way. And just for those of you who do not know, Afghanistan is real hilly. There's a lot of issues with that. It's very, very difficult, you know, to find the enemy targets there and get rid of them. That was one of the problems I think we had with bin Laden for a while. because they were moving around so easily. But anyway, Judy, it's a shame that this happened. But in all honesty, I expect to see more of this. Time will tell. Hopefully not, but time will tell. Okay, next one. Jim, well, once again, you were right on point. I read recently where a Florida woman told the police about her ex-boyfriend on how he wanted to break the world record for the longest confirmed kill ever. The police arrested the guy. This is another example you mentioned where law enforcement gets help from the general public and saved lives. Peter, Jacksonville, Florida. Well, Peter, you're absolutely right. Again, for those of you who don't know, I like to enlighten the listeners with this because of the fact that they don't always listen to the news like I do. But that was the situation where her ex-boyfriend, and he was arrested in Daytona Beach. Name was Tristan Wicks, 25 years old, and he had sent a series of texts saying that he wanted to die and have fun doing it. And he's being held without bond. Fortunately, he didn't get to do what he wanted to do because of the fact that this woman basically dropped a dime on him. So he's being held without bond, and he's being charged with, for those of you who don't know, if he hasn't done anything, you might be wondering, well, what has he done to be charged with anything, to be arrested? Well, he's charged with making threats to commit a mass shooting and for detailing plans to shoot as many people as he could in a large crowd. See, here we go again with the large crowds. People just don't know. These large crowds, those are the soft targets. And again, those are where police aren't, and there's a large amount of people. He also had written that the school is a weak target. So that tells you that he'd be more than likely to open fire on a large crowd of people from over 3 miles away, apparently with some of the firepower he had as well. His words were totally insane. He says, I just want to die and I want to have fun doing it. I mean, think about somebody like that for a moment. I don't know whether or not there's any mental illness there, but anybody, in my opinion, that would do something like this would definitely have some type of, mental illness of some sort. Now, I will tell you that he has implied that he's going to be immune from prosecution because he hadn't physically done anything. Well, everybody will make their arguments. We'll just see what ends up happening with that. But he also, from what I understand, stated that he's not crazy. He just wants to die, and he wants to have fun doing it. And the fact that he's the most patient person in the world. So he had put some things out there that would, in fact, concern people. Now, according to the authorities down there, according to his background, they say he's got the profile of a shooter. They feel, he had lost his job. He lost his girlfriend, which is the one that turned him in. He's depressed. He's got ammunition, and he wants to become known for the most prolific kill in American history. Well, all of that's correct. Now, I can tell you that the police did find that he really didn't own any firearms of sorts, but a search of his apartment did yield a hunting rifle and 400 rounds. And that, to me, it was only a .22 caliber. He couldn't have done much with that, quite frankly. I mean, at any rate, who knows? But in his particular case, he made those threats. He's been arrested. He's being held without bond. You can't make those kind of threats anymore, not even in jest and the rest of this. And I think last week we had one on there that we talked about. In fact, the person said he was just kidding. You cannot joke about these things anymore. You put that stuff out there, it's going to get found out. Okay, let's keep moving. Jim, here we go again with gun control. After the Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas shootings, the politicians were screaming about gun control again. Now, just a few weeks ago is when this happened. Now it is a few weeks later, nothing. I have not heard anything on the news this week necessarily about gun control because they move on. The media moves on. The politicians move on. They're all full of, and I can't write what he put here. Then he says, just venting about, this business about regulations that they're screaming about. It won't stop anybody. People who want to kill will kill. Please tell your listeners to write to their senators and congressmen, and women, by the way, I might want to add. That wasn't in the email, but women, we also have females that are also holding these kind of positions, to get off their political spin wheels and get something done. Joyce, actually, from St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah, this person is very emotional about this, obviously, and it is a very emotional issue. And Joyce, I will say that I don't disagree with you. I mean, I've said that on the air before, where, you know, when these events happen, you know, all of the politicians, the presidential candidates, they're all talking about this business of gun control again. And the media will be talking about it. They'll just keep talking about it. And then it starts to fade. I mean, think about it for those of you that are listening right now. Maybe you heard something this week on gun control. I didn't hear anything about it. They moved on. They talk about what's going on with China. They're talking about these different trips that the president might be on. They're talking about all these other things, healthcare. The political candidates are talking about all these different things. So here we go again where they're not focusing on this. But wait for something else to happen, and you'll see what I'm talking about. They start to bring it up. Now, Joyce, in all fairness, I believe these politicians, or at least Congress, well, I think Congress and the Senate, I think they're all on a on their summer break. So I think they're due back within about a week or so, whenever it is. So maybe when they get back, actually in session, maybe we'll see or hear a little bit more on it. But for right now, you know, it is the usual spin. Now, for those of you, which is nothing, quite frankly, now, for those of you that are not familiar with this, I will tell you that the last thing that they talked about a few weeks ago was this business once again about the proposals for what they call red flag, you know, which is stronger background checks that may, that they hope will prevent those threatening harm to themselves or others from buying or possessing firearm, and bans on large capacity magazines or assault style weapons. Well, those are the same things they've talked about before. Where's the change going to come from? This isn't new. This is the same stuff. And not only that, but the Dayton, Ohio shooter and the El Paso, Texas shooter, all the guns were bought legally. They were bought legally. And if they had no background, what difference does it make about these red flag laws? I still think mental illness has to play a role in this at some point. But yeah, so legally, they purchased those weapons. So if they legally purchased the weapons, then how are the new legislations going to do anything? Now, I will tell you that Congress is talking about reviving the assault weapons ban that President Bill Clinton signed into law. And I think I mentioned that once before. It expired in 2004. So, you know, they said that it had mixed results. They've suggested that prohibition on large capacity magazines could also help reduce shooting deaths. You know, this shooter in Gilroy, I think that guy only shot for a few seconds before they were all over him. I think the same thing with some of these other places, because it could have been much worse. So, you know, to me, it goes back to the same thing in terms of preparation. Preparation. I mean, I've done training again this week on active shooter training, and you try to get the point across that people have to be aware. You got to be paying attention to the things that are going on out there. You know, and follow your safety protocols. For those of you that had training, for those of you that haven't had training, get some type of training so that you understand if you get into a certain scenario, you know, how to best protect yourselves and your families. Like I said, they're going to be debating this issue about gun control forever. But, I mean, that's just the way that it is. So I wish I could tell you something more on that, but that's just about what it's going to boil down to. And again, they're going to be back in session. Let's see what happens. My prediction is they'll talk about it for a week or two. And then from there, once again, they're going to start addressing some other hot button topics, and then they go on from there. If anybody's got any comments, I'd love to hear them. 818-602-4929. But I think that about, you know, sums it up. It's a very emotional issue for people. We get it. But we got to stop talking about it and do something about it. And I'm not sure that these current plans are going to be it by themselves. I don't know. Okay, look, let's move on. Again, if anybody wants to call, feel free to do so. Let's talk about the Internet. Now, I've talked about, especially my regular listeners probably know that I've been talking about how the Internet has become problematic and regarding international and domestic terrorism. I mean, that's just the way that it is. I've never really done a deep dive into how it's a problem. So is what I want to do is to take the time today to go into the deep dive on this issue about the Internet. Now, look, understand something. Since the late 1980s, the Internet has proven to be a highly dynamic means of communication. I get it. You know, it's reaching an ever-growing audience worldwide. See, that's what's bad about the internet from a negative perspective. I mean, there's a lot of positives out there. There's no doubt about that. All right, but we're talking about since the late 80s. Now, the development of increasingly sophisticated technologies has created a network with truly global reach. All right, and the problem is it has a low barrier to entry. Anybody can get on the internet from wherever they are. The internet technology makes it easy for an individual to communicate with relatively, you know, in an anonymous fashion, so to speak. So nobody has to know who they are, you know, and quickly and effectively it crosses all borders to an almost limited audience, you guys, and that's part of the problem. The benefits of the internet technology are numerous, and I think we all could agree with that, you know. We get to share information, you get to share ideas, and when those ideas are positive, it works out great, all right? And sharing ideas, by the way, that's a fundamental human right. You know, sharing ideas is how we probably have advanced as a civilization, by talking about things. But there's a negative side to it, and that negative side is that the use of the internet for terrorist purposes is now creating challenges and opportunities in the fight against terrorism or, you know, these ideologies from terrorists. It's all getting out there, and that to me is very, very problematic, obviously, as I'm sure you would agree, you know. So people can exploit the internet. That's the problem, you know, for the purposes of terrorism. So how do we deal with that? It's going to be very difficult at this point. But it goes back to what I was also saying about what people need to be doing. You're going to always hear me harping about children because I think that the children, you know, we got to start with that. So at some point we're creating these individuals that don't listen to some of this nonsense that's being put out there. Now, there are different means by which the internet is utilized for terrorist purposes, and that's kind of what I wanted to say when I was talking about doing the deep dive. There's a number of them. Let me just give you a rough idea. Now, because of the fact that it's utilized to promote and support acts of terrorism, it's resulted in the identification of six overlapping categories. There's about six of them, okay? Propaganda, which includes recruitment, you guys, radicalization, and incitement to terrorism. There's financing, training, planning, including, you know, through secret communications and open source information. Execution of it, and cyber attacks. So those are the six, okay? The main one, in my opinion, and I think is what I want to do, I want to discuss each one with at least an overview to at least give you a better understanding of the impact of each on our society. And the biggest one and the number one concern would be on propaganda. Now, we've all heard of the word propaganda. It's what people do to indoctrinate people, et cetera. But I'm going to tell you, one of the primary uses of the internet by terrorists is for the dissemination of propaganda. And it generally takes the form of multimedia communications, providing ideological or practical instruction, explanation, justification, or promotion of terrorist activities. Now think about that. The form of multimedia communications, guys, that's able to reach out to people, speak to people, instructions with people, explanations. You know, the internet has so much on there right now about how people can make bombs. I mean, all kinds of different things. That's all out there. And they're going to take advantage of that because we can't just shut down the internet anymore. It doesn't work that way. Now, the propaganda, look, it could take and include virtual messages, presentations, online magazines, treatises, audio and video files, and video games developed by terrorist organizations or sympathizers. Now, this business about video games, we've heard that on TV before, on the news, where some people have opined, given their opinion on video games and how video games can impact our kids. Some people buy into that, some people don't. But then I find out that there's actually terrorist organizations out there that are creating some of these video games. So, look, nevertheless, what constitutes terrorist propaganda as opposed to legitimate advocacy of a viewpoint is often subjective, okay? It's subjective. I get that. And the dissemination of propaganda is generally not in and of itself a prohibited activity. Think about it. You've heard me talk on the show before about all of these different hate groups out there. These people all have websites out there. So it's not prohibited by law for people to want to talk to people about their ideologies. It's who buys into those ideologies is our problem. And that comes from different people, strong people, weak people, lack of faith people, depressed people, mentally ill people, all of that. You know, so, you know, the tool itself is not bad. It's what people do with that tool is what's creating the nightmare, so to speak, for us. Not just in our country, but internationally as well. Now, I will tell you that there's some basic tenets of international law, okay? They want to protect fundamental human rights, and that does include the right to freedom of expression. So that's international law. And some people may say, well, some countries, they don't let you speak the way you want, and that's probably true. So I'm speaking just the fundamental human rights includes the right to freedom of expression. And certainly this country permits that. Now, because of those fundamental rights, there's guarantees that an individual has the right to share an opinion or to distribute content, which may be considered objectionable by others, and it's also subject to certain limited exceptions. So I want you to know that. Now, one commonly accepted exclusion with respect to that right is the prohibition against the distribution of certain categories of sexually explicit content. All right? So they look at it like, okay, the prohibition has got to be something that's deemed to be in the public interest in order to protect certain vulnerable groups. So under that, you know, theory is what we're talking about. The protected group would be who? Children, as an example, okay? And actually women also, to a certain extent with that, especially the young women and girls. So again, you know, society is going to protect these individuals, so all speech is not protected. Let's just keep it simple like that, all right? Some people may want to argue that, well, wait a minute, what about the First Amendment, freedom of speech? Well, first of all, remember, that applies in our nation. It doesn't have to apply to other nations. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, even under the First Amendment, freedom of speech, you can't just do certain things. You can't do things to incite riots, as an example. Or the classic example that I remember I learned in law school was, you know, you can't be in a movie theater and yell fire, okay? And now people get trampled, people get hurt. Now you say, well, under the First Amendment, I have a right to say whatever I want. No, you don't. And that's just a classic example that people use. So we're always going to look to protect specific groups. So just to let you know that. Now look, the promotion of violence is a common theme in terrorism-related propaganda. All right? They're going to promote violence. That's who they are. You saw what I just talked, I mean, heard what I just talked about with what happened in Kabul, all right, in Afghanistan, and I talked about, here's a suicide bomber. Now, I don't know if he came from the ranks of ISIS, whether or not he learned through propaganda. We don't know, because he's gone. He blew himself up, all right? But let me just tell you, that's not uncommon. They can reach out, all right? Now, the broad reach of content distributed via the Internet exponentially increases the audience that may be affected. There's no surprise to that. That's the deal. And let me just tell you, the ability to directly distribute content via the Internet diminishes the reliance on traditional channels of communication such as news services, which may take steps to independently evaluate the credibility of information provided or to edit or omit aspects deemed to be unduly provocative. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, the news, in my opinion, again, I don't, you know, the media, in my opinion, I think that they exploit us. So these are also the individuals that are in charge of information coming in our direction. But I hear them on there talking sometimes about things that I don't understand. As an example, they'll be in there talking about, you know, and interviewing somebody and saying that, you know, we have a lot of train systems here in the United States, and there's a lot of, you know, railways, you know that stretch out across our nation. How can we possibly protect them? And suppose a terrorist wants to blow up a train track. That's the stuff that I don't understand. Why would the media be talking about things like that? Why would you put that thought into somebody's head? But once again, First Amendment, freedom of the press. They want to say what they want to say. You know, But those are the kind of things that I think are ridiculous. So that's what I say with the media. I think sometimes is upside down, you know, in terms of the information that they're giving or holding back on. I don't know, you may agree with me or disagree. Now, the internet propaganda may also include content such as video footage of violent acts of terrorism or video games developed by the terrorist organizations that I kind of already mentioned to you. And that those things can stimulate acts of terrorism and encourage the user to engage in role play by acting the part of the virtual terrorist. And I think we have seen some of that with a couple of the active shooters that, you know, they put on certain outfits, they do this, and psychologically these people insert themselves into this program, but they bring it into the real-life scenarios. So that's out there. Now, in terms of video, remember what ISIS was doing. Remember when ISIS was in Syria and a couple of the other countries, and they were actually doing what? Chopping people's heads off. They were burning people in cages. That's video. That's video. That's propaganda for them. They want to be able to show that. And that's not a new concept. If you go back way back to the Vietnam War, where they were showing, you know, guys that were, you know, captured in prison, and, you know, I'm not talking about American soldiers, you know, or going back to the Korean War even, where they capture people and then try to get them on footage saying that America is bad and things of that nature, because that's propaganda for them. So this is not a new concept by any stretch of the imagination. It's just that with the internet, they can reach people, a lot more people, and a lot quicker, and literally all over the world. All right. Now, let me just tell you. The promotion of extremist rhetoric encouraging violent acts is also a common trend across a growing range of internet-based platforms. I'm talking now about host user-generated content. These people are creating platforms. That content may could formerly have been distributed to a relatively limited audience. But now it's changing. They're doing things in person via physical media, such as compact disc, you guys. See these. Digital video. All right. These things reach out to people. All right. So that they can make these CDs, make these movies, put them on the video, put them on the internet, and it's out there. This is the times we're living in. And I reach out to the parents or people that we know that are having issues. Who's watching these people? Parents not watching their children closely and getting on their computers. Go in there and see where they've been. What sites have they gone to? I told you before, that's how law enforcement does it. Open source intelligence. That's what we were doing out there. That's what I was doing. I was doing a part of that. You know, we were on the internet looking for things. And I've spoken about that on the show before. You got to scour the internet. And the FBI, I think, has done a phenomenal job over the last few years, because we've heard about how they've caught people because of this business about the internet. You know, now, let me just tell you, there's dedicated websites, guys, targeted visual chat rooms. That means people from all over the world, no matter where they are, can be in a chat room talking about things. They know about when it is. We don't know when it is unless we catch on to it. They got platforms, forums, online magazines, social networking platforms. Think about that. Twitter, Facebook. All right. All of those are the types of platforms they use. Matter of fact, I read the Mueller report. And in the Mueller report, yeah, I did. I'm one of those crazy people out there, I guess. But I read the Mueller report from cover to cover. Every word, every sentence, every paragraph, even the footnotes. And what do you think? There was these two Russian groups. That's what they were doing. They were on these platforms. It's in there. Just read it in the first part of the Mueller report. That's what they did. They reached out to people to get their message out there. And they were using people, because the person that was behind the scenes would say something like, oh, yeah, okay, we're all going to meet and do a protest, we'll just say in downtown Los Angeles. And he's in touch with some of these individuals that are American citizens. And all of a sudden, he can't make it because he's got some emergency. So, Joe, do me a favor. You coordinate it for me. That's the kind of things that they do. That way, their face is never there. So they use other people. So look, if you guys out there listening to this piece, somebody pulls something like that on you, well, I can't make it, you do it. I'm telling you right now, you should look at that and scratch your head. Something's going on. But Twitter, Facebook, popular video and file sharing websites such as YouTube, RapidShare. You know, these are sites that we take for granted these days. You can get online on YouTube and find anything. You know, so there's people that are using those things to their advantage. Shameful but true. So parents, once again, are you monitoring? Are you blocking? What is it that you're doing? Are you blocking your kids from being able to go to certain websites? You got to do it. You know, Detective Ellick last week made a very good point when he talked about the fact that parents have to go and explore the children's rooms. Parents don't do that. And sometimes what you hear these kids talking about is that you're invading my privacy. We talked about that last week. You remember something, parent. You own that house. That's your house. Or if you don't own a house and it's an apartment, you're paying the rent for that apartment. Not them. All right? So when they start talking about you invading my privacy, don't listen to that. And I know there's some people out there, you know, that may feel that's harsh. But look, you have to do that these days. Or all of a sudden you find your child on the news and you're looking at it like, what happened? I never suspected anything. Now, let me tell you, the fundamental threat posed by terrorist propaganda relates to the manner in which it is used and the intent for which it's disseminated. All right? This propaganda stuff is distributed via the internet. It covers a range of objectives as well as audience. So again, their extremist beliefs, you have to take a hold of that. Don't listen to this, because their focus is going to be aimed at trying to find supporters. That's what they need. They need supporters. They could be focused on recruitment, radicalization, and incitement to terrorism through messages conveying pride, accomplishment, and dedication to the extremist goals. Pride, instilling pride. You know, the other day, I was watching on the news, and I think it was on the internet, actually, where this one classroom showed these guys, these boys, standing up giving the Nazi salute in class. And I'm thinking to myself, what is going on? How can this even be permitted or thought to be permitted? Now, they got suspended from school, and rightfully so. And hopefully they're learning a lesson by that. But when people engage in that kind of behavior, they're already on the wrong path. And I don't want to hear about peer pressure. That's ridiculous. You know, when I was in school, I didn't do things just to go along with the group. You got to stand aside from that. You know, it doesn't work that way. At any rate, I don't know. Parents, know what your kids are doing. Now, let me just tell you. Through the use of the internet, we also get a heightened sense of anxiety. We get the fear sets in, the panic sets in. That's their objective with this. The panic in population. All right. That's what they want to see. That tells them that they made an impact. Let me give you an example. A few weeks ago in Times Square, there was a backfire. People started running for cover off a backfire from a car or a motorcycle, whatever it was. That goes to show you how our lives have now been impacted by this stuff. And that's a shame. But that's what's going on. You know, we live in a country, we haven't had to experience that. Some of these other nations have experienced this for decades. We're being introduced to it, so to speak, more recently, it seems. Now, I did a training the other day, and somebody made a comment about, well, you know, have you noticed a, you know, an uptick in this in the last year or two? And I had to explain, I'm like, well, first of all, this really goes back a lot longer than that. You've heard me say, my regular listeners have heard me say this before, it goes back to the 1790s with domestic terrorism. So putting the international terrorism to the side for a moment, domestic terrorism has been around a long time. But the problem is we forget in time, and history doesn't always record these things unless you go looking for it. And you may record it when it happened, it may be in the newspaper when it happens. But then as the generations come along and the grandparents or the people that experience pass on, then that information is not disseminated. Unless something happens, you have to look it up. But none of this is new. Now, one of my biggest concerns with the internet, and again, doing this deep dive, is recruitment. The internet can be used as a means not only to publish extremist rhetoric and videos, guys, but that's how they develop relationships and solicit support. And when I'm talking support, remember something. Money. Money. All right? They can get money from people through the internet. So keep that in mind. Now, some of these organizations do that by threatening people. I was laughing with some friends of mine the other day because, you know, my email got hacked and they were sending information to people that I had been in Europe or something, and that I had been arrested for something. I forget what it was off the top, but you know, they had people calling the office about where to send the money to because Jim needs help. Oh no, I had been robbed. Okay. And so, you know, I'm broke and I need to be able to get back to the United States. My passport was taken, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, clients calling the office want to know where they can send money to. My office had to tell them, what are you talking about? Jim is down in Long Beach giving a speech. They had to convince some people of that. No, he is. He's down in Long Beach giving a speech. You know, so there's different ways that these people can drive the internet to get money. And I've talked about that before also. So, you know, you can't pay attention to this. Now, I can tell you that terrorist organizations increasingly use propaganda distributed via all these different platforms, and then they use these password-protected websites and restricted access so for these chat groups, you know, as a means of doing clandestine recruitment. So, again, you as an individual, something seems weird to you, and you've got to go through all these changes and create all of this. What does that tell you? That's not something that you want to deal with, all right? So the reach of the internet provides terrorist organizations and sympathizers with a global pool of potential recruits. And that includes our children. All right. I also like to say the weak-minded. Because somebody with a strong personality, you're not going to get them. They prey on people like that. People that don't have any hope. You know, they make these promises to them. Terrorist propaganda is often tailored to appeal to vulnerable and marginalized groups. That's what I'm telling you. And this process of recruitment and radicalization commonly capitalizes on the sentiment of injustice. Does that sound familiar? How many times do you hear in the news about people talking about injustice, injustice, injustice? All right? Or humiliation. They appeal to those things. When we're out here protesting all of this, these people are looking at that. For them, those are all potential recruits. There's a certain amount of unrest. So what do? You go after them, all right? You go after them. You get them to come to your side because you're being mistreated. You're being humiliated by this country. And they'll get you. Now, I will also tell you, you know what they do? They take into account demographic factors such as age as well as gender and also social or economic circumstances, the poor, the downtrodden. I'm just telling you, they will prey on people's emotions. That's how they get people to come over. They want people to make a statement, all right? They'll teach you how to fix them. They did this to you. Let me show you how you can get even. All right? Now, who does it appeal to, guys? I can't stress it enough. The internet is particularly effective for the recruitment of minors. And they comprise a high proportion of internet use. Think about that. The older generation, we don't care anything about the internet. I'm not going to say that's everybody. Okay? There's some advantages there, no doubt about that. But these young people, they're all over this internet. I got two little granddaughters that can jump all over the internet. They know this stuff. They're brought up in this environment. This technology for them is nothing. So these people are all over this internet, these young people. And I'll tell you something else that they do. The propaganda that they get out there via the internet, the way that they get the minors, It takes forms of cartoons. They use cartoons. So parents, watch what their kids are watching. Don't just put it on a cartoon station. Watch those cartoons yourself. They use popular music videos or computer games. All right. They will target the minors. They will also do something else that you don't think about. Children's stories with messages promoting and glorifying acts of terrorism. This is out there. That's how they're appealing to the kids. They know the older people may not even think about this. When was the last time you heard about a suicide bomber or an active shooter that's probably over 50 years of age or 60 years of age? I mean, think about it. You hear about all these younger people doing it. You don't hear about the older generation doing this. It's the younger ones. They're appealing to them. Their minds aren't fully developed in certain respects. The maturity levels aren't there yet. That's how they're doing it. Now, look. Again, parents, watch the cartoons, the children's stories. Watch what they're looking at. Don't just put it on that channel. Because they'll send out those messages promoting and glorifying acts of terrorism such as suicide attacks. And I'll tell you something else. They've also specifically designed online video games intended to be used as recruitment and training tools. And games can promote the use of violence against a state or prominent political figure, rewarding virtual successes, and may be offered in multiple languages too. Why? Broader audience. Now, you think about some of those videos that are out there that are talking about killing police officers and blowing things up and things of that nature. You know, think about the police officers. I'm always going to be sensitive to that, obviously. But if you think about that as one example in the video games that are out there with some of this, what is that doing? That is promoting this nonsense. Parents, pay attention. Grandparents, pay attention with your grandchildren. Talk to your children. All right? Now, look, here's the sad part. Propaganda, per se, it's not generally prohibited. The use of propaganda by terrorists to incite acts of terrorism is considered unlawful by many member states, meaning with our allies and things of that nature. All right? Now, the Internet, unfortunately, provides an abundance amount of material and opportunities to download, edit, and even distribute content that may be considered unlawful glorification or provocative to acts of terrorism. But how can you control all of that? It's too vast. The Internet is vast. The information on the Internet is vast. Look at how many subscribers some of these platforms have, these social media platforms especially. Billions. Billions. You want to keep up with all of that. That's why parents, all right, or family members, if you recognize that somebody's having some issues, check out their computer. You never know what you might find. All right? This is serious. And this business about radicalization, you've heard me talking about it before, but I can tell you it really refers to primarily the process of indoctrination, and that often accompanies the transformation of recruits into individuals determined to act with violence based on extremist ideologies. All right? And it involves a lot of different ways. Radicalization, a lot of different ways. All right? And that one does involve the use of propaganda. And again, it can be communicated in person or via the Internet, whatever. I remember, you know, years ago, the black Muslims were going into the prisons, you know, and they were getting people to become Muslims, blacks to become Muslims. Because once they have found Allah, so to speak, or they have a faith now or religious beliefs, some of the issues with the paroles, okay, is that, you know, I have found, you know, Allah, I'm more of a spiritual person now. I'm a changed person, and that helps them get out. And then after they got out, of course, some of them would do things once they're out. All right? But certainly that they were using a step to do some of this. Now, you heard me talk about propaganda, but you've also heard me mention briefly earlier on about financing. Let me just tell you, terrorist organizations and supporters, they can use the Internet to finance acts of terrorism. They collect funds. They send money out there. and people send them the money. And they really put those into four general categories that you should know. It's like a direct solicitation. E-commerce is one. The exploitation of online payment tools and through charitable organizations. Here you are thinking that you're making a charitable contribution and that money is going someplace else. When you make charitable contributions, make sure you know where it's going to. All right? That's the deal. Because some of that money, it's not the way you think. Some of that money, when you see these little boxes by the register, by the way, where it says, I want to say help Jerry's kids, because everybody can relate to that. And they have these little boxes. A lot of those boxes are privately owned. They're not owned by Jerry's kids. They're not owned by the store. And 90% of what goes into that box, whoever owns that box gets to keep it. As long as they do, I think the number is 10% or 15% goes to, I'm just using Jerry's kids as an example, that 10% or 15%, as long as they send that in, they get to keep the rest of it. That happens when some of these natural disasters happen and these people create all of these, hey, send money to such and such. Just keep in mind, all of that money doesn't have to go to them. People pocket some of that money. You know, so make sure when you're supporting that your money is going in the right direction for those kind of things. All right? And I could tell you, that stuff at the grocery store, how many times you've been to the grocery store and they flip the thing to you and they say, do you want to make a contribution toward breast cancer or toward this or toward that? Hey, let me tell you something. That money is not 100% going, okay, to the breast cancer foundation, so to speak. The store only has to give a percentage of that. They don't give the whole thing. So some of these organizations out there, they set up these charitable organizations, and that money is being funneled across, you know, the ocean, so to speak. And I know when I was on the intelligence team, we were talking about how these banks, and taking in money and sending this money overseas. Let me tell you something. Have you noticed the crackdown on the banks now? When you go there, you're trying to open up an account, you're trying to do this, you're sticking large sums of money in. They're looking at all of that now. That's why. They're trying to control the financing that's going out across the ocean that are helping to finance some of these terrorist organizations. So again, watch your charitable organizations that you're doing. You want to help when it's a disaster? Hey, send it to the American Red Cross. That's not going to be a problem. But I'm going to tell you, they use funds transfers are often made by electronic wire transfers, credit cards. All right, they even use PayPal. They do things with Skype, all of that. Online payment facilities also have been exploited through fraudulent means such as identity theft, credit card theft, wire fraud, stock fraud, intellectual property crimes, and even auction frauds. They're figuring out how to get this money. So the internet is there for us. There's a lot of positives with the internet, but there are people out there learning how to work that system. That's what I'm telling you. So you've got to be extremely careful, okay? When you put that credit card out there and you put it online, I'm just telling you, we've talked about identity theft on one of the prior shows. People are stealing it, and that money may get misdirected. You may not ever get that money back. And it's going to these hackers, these people overseas, to support these terrorist groups. All right? Now, let me just tell you. They have laundered money is another one. I don't want to forget to tell you that one. And let me just tell you, laundered money was used both to fund the registration of these different websites. There was 180 websites hosting Al-Qaeda propaganda videos and providing equipment for terrorist activities. And that was in several countries, you guys. They had approximately 1,400 credit cards that was found out that was used to generate approximately $1.6 million of illicit funds to finance terrorist activities, guys. All right? So, look, I don't want to keep beating it in the ground. I think you guys are getting the idea of where I'm coming from with this. It's sad but true. It's out there. Let me caution you in terms of how you use the internet. Don't just be signing up for things, something you don't know sounds good. Make sure you put your security measures on your computers so people can't hack into you. There's a lot of online banking going on now. That's what I'm saying about the internet. It's becoming so easy for us to use it now. And there's going to be flaws with it. You got to make sure the protections for you and your family are there as well. All right? Now, I keep forgetting to give the tip of the day, but I like to do this thing the tip of the day. Okay? So today I want to definitely give you a tip of the day. And the tip of the day that people leave out sometimes, look, if you have a situation in your work environment, or no matter where you are, actually, you're out and about in the general public and you see a fire alarm, you know how you pull that little thing down, break the glass or whatever? Hey, send off that fire alarm. You could be running past that, okay? Or it could be on in your job. It's in the hallway, okay? You see that fire alarm? Hey, pull that fire alarm down. That's going to send out a 911 message quick, you know, in the event that you're not able to do something. So help is going to be coming its way. And, hey, if you have to, grab one of those fire extinguishers and take it with you. You never know. You might be able to spray somebody, hit somebody with it, whatever the case may be. So those things are already there and are obviously legal to use. Now, I'll tell you, fire alarms, they're gonna send a message out. Fire extinguishers, hey, that foam could help a lot if you start spraying that fire extinguisher on somebody. All right. You've been listening to Jim Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show. Be sure to join me next week. Hey, do me a favor, though. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then, be aware, be vigilant, be safe. More importantly, be a reluctant victim. And also, as a reminder, I've got my book out there. It's doing very well, Domestic Terrorism Safety Tips. And you can go to www.lulu.com. That's LULU.com. All right? Take care. Until next week.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.